Cascadia is coming up. Also this morning on your Thursday, it is KBOO Portland with Flashpoints at 10:15, Investigative News Radio with Dennis Bernstein. And then at 11, an hour long Between the Covers, Dan Johnson will be talking with author Craig Johnson about the latest book in his Longmire series, the basis for the Netflix show Longmire. KBOO keeps you informed and you can get involved. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member. Coming up next, it's Air Cascadia.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present David Barsamian, Resistance in the Age of Trump, on Sunday, November 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Journalist, author, and activist David Barsamian will be speaking about the broad coalition in opposition to the Trump administration, which includes activists from a range of causes, progressive Democrats, and concerned Republicans. He'll be reflecting on the core issues at stake today and why so many people from such a range of identities and perspectives are challenging the administration. Again, that's KBOO Presents David Barsamian, Resistance in the Age of Trump, on Sunday, November 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, October 19th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, your whistleblower radio, and of course your fake news radio. And yes, it is. That's what we are these days, as long as journalism is anything at all. Choose your adjective, it doesn't matter. As long as independent journalism is alive and well in any shape or form, that's good, because the Trump administration is doing everything it possibly can to stamp out journalism. And it's doing a pretty good job, I have to say, because you don't have to stamp out journalism itself. All you have to do is stamp out people who actually listen to it, because there's a lot more people who would rather listen to the fabrications of this deranged junta that has seized power. We're listening this morning to Under a Buffalo Sun. It's Flute Medicine by Mignon Gailey. Mignon Gailey is a First Nations member. She has been following the Buffalo Field campaign for years now. She's not paid anything. She just follows them when they are on the road doing their road show every late summer and early fall, bringing news of the season to people all across North America, and bringing the flute music of Mignon to thousands of people who might not otherwise have heard it. Thank you, Independent Radio, once again, for making this possible. That's Mignon Gailey, and we were just listening to Under a Buffalo Sun. This is again why we're here. I did want to tell you more about her, but we need to get right on with it because we've got a lot of business to take care of here. Well, first up, Cascade Forest Defenders has this out for you. This just came in overnight. Logging has begun, and wait for it, at the Goose Timber Sale in the Willamette National Forest once again. This is that tract of land that's just north of Mackenzie Bridge and Highway 126. Cascade Forest Defenders have maintained a tree sit protest inside the Goose Timber Sale since late May. Think about that. Think about it. And, have you heard much about this? Have you heard it? Just wondered. Just thinking about it. So there's been this tree sit in progress since last May. So evidence of logging once again. The Forest Defenders tree sit search was searched and extensively photographed yesterday by Lane County Sheriff's deputies and the Forest Service officers. They left with a promise to see you tomorrow, meaning, of course, today. This is the first contact that CFD has had with law enforcement since the tree sit began 6 months ago. CFD are making a general call to action to all activists and organizers in the Pacific Northwest. Word going out to Cascadia to help stop the Goose Timber Sale. There's no need for it. There's every reason to stop it. There's a tremendous need, on the other hand, for the trees that otherwise would be taken. More so than it's possible to even put into words. Here's the thing. This is one of those slow-rolling catastrophes. People don't pay attention to it because there's no fire and brimstone, eh? No spark to it. There'll be plenty of spark, though, if we keep this up. Plenty of spark. And once the trees are gone, it's not just that, oh, the pretty view is gone, and people will stop flooding into Oregon to look at the tree. That won't matter anymore, because we'll have much more serious problems than that. We will be having some serious issues with the Earth's atmosphere, which will be irrevocably changing and on a downward path. Yes, I don't think people realize how critical trees are to life on this planet. And that, on that note too, something to think about, something, a thread that pulls, and I do mean a very thin, tenuous thread at that, a thin thread that ties all of these stories together, is the fact that the Earth is rapidly becoming a monospecies planet. Or we don't know what that's actually going to look like and what that is going to mean. Because here's the thing. This is the main thought here. We have this new technology. If you thought GMOs from Monsanto, if you thought that was dangerous, and that had to be stopped, and indeed it does, but something far worse
I wish I could tell you it was in the pipeline. Then we could have a bit of a giggle over that. But it's out of the pipeline. It's called CRISPR. And it means that, and of course everyone just loves this, the humanity. It means that any tiny little disease that you get, your plant gets, if you've got enough money and you've got a loud enough voice, one and the same thing, you can have that fixed. In other words, we don't know. It is important to have all these little creatures. The only reason mosquitoes are bad is because people don't like them and they cause malaria. We don't know, though, what purpose that serves. We have, as a species, we have damaged the planet, and there are restrictors on the out of control growth of population of any particular species. And for all we know, malaria is one way of stopping that growth. We aren't special. Our species is not somehow selected to be top of the pile on planet Earth. No, we're not. Could be for all we know that mosquitoes are. But now with CRISPR, they can be completely wiped out. No problem. You just cut out one part of the sequence, and that's it. End of that problem. So that means pretty much that if you're a Brazilianaire, the word of George W. Bush, all you Brazilianaires out there, if you are bothered or irritated or inconvenienced or you're disgruntled by any little thing, your child has bronchitis, or maybe he's flunked out of school because they've got some other problem, that can be fixed now. CRISPR will fix that. So in other words, the human race can pretty much wipe out anything that irritates it. We don't know, and the sequence in which that happens, we have no idea what Earth will look like. We're waiting to hear again, as I said before, from Cascade Forest defenders who are doing the right thing, and for the right reasons too, in that protecting any species other than human right now is of critical importance to adjust and bring life on the planet back into balance again. That is the problem, is balance. Every ecosystem on the planet as an ecosystem, as a habitat, is in grave danger. And it's because of the mistaken belief that humans are the most important. We are the top predator. Why on earth would people sink bazillions of dollars into a technology like CRISPR that makes it possible to create in not too many generations a monospecies planet? That is exactly where we're heading, and we're heading there faster than you might think. There is a wonderful African proverb, an environmental activist, or much more than that actually, and I'm going to have to paraphrase this: in the end we save what we love, and we love what we have formed an emotional attachment to. And just saying, Americans are all about emotional attachments. That's why you get cat pictures on the internet. In the end, we save what we love, and we love what we formed an emotional relationship with, and we form emotional relationships in childhood. So when you see kids who are glued to phones or pads of any kind and cannot, without risking a full-scale weapons-grade tantrum. If that's what you see, a child that cannot be separated from its device, you know, that's the future. Because no matter how much money they give to Sierra Club when they grow up, no matter how much money they give to, they spend on camping equipment so they can hike through that beauty border of the trees that stop motorists from seeing the clear cut. No matter how much time they spend watching environmental stuff, it's still the emotional bond that is formed is with the device itself and not what is being depicted on or by that device. So in the end, given a choice of what to save, the adult, the product of such a childhood, will save the device and not the actual tree or the actual forest or the actual planet, right? The actual planet. That's what we're talking about. It is indeed a horrific dystopian future that we're looking at. And we're building it right now. We're building it right now, child by child, generation by generation, because in the end, we save what we love. This has been Eka Skodia for Thursday, October 19th, 2017, Engineering Today. Rock Bergeron, thanks, Rock. And Derek Brooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. Thanks, Derek. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.